Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From our gospel reading, the account of Jesus casting out the unclean spirit, immediately there was in their synagogue in Capernaum a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. This is our text. Christ, who spoke and demons fled, as we just sang, there's a cosmic war going on between God and the devil, and it seems to erupt all around Jesus. His presence draws the enemies out of hiding. They come out of the shadows, and they come into the light. The demons and unclean spirits are like giant moths attracted to a porch light. They can't help themselves. They fly to their own doom, incinerated by the light of the world. The stronger man, Jesus, has come, and he comes to bind up the strong man and his minions and to plunder his goods. The first chapter of Mark puts this cosmic spiritual war at center stage. We see it right away after Jesus' baptism. Jesus is baptized, and immediately he's driven out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We see it in our reading today. As soon as Jesus begins his ministry and calls his disciples, he's teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum, and an unclean spirit immediately starts a major showdown with him. It screams, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" I think if we're honest, however, we have a hard time knowing what to make of such things. What are unclean spirits? And just where do they come from? And how do they manifest themselves in our world today? It's interesting that Mark seems to prefer to call them unclean. Matthew and Luke will often call them demons or evil spirits, but Mark says they are unclean. Unclean means unholy and impure. The very opposite of God. They cannot coexist with him. Anything that pollutes, anything that corrupts, anything that contaminates, anything that taints what God has made is unclean. Sin is unclean. Jesus names the very evil things that defile a person and make him or her unclean. The list is long. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Sickness is also considered unclean, especially contagious diseases like leprosy. And death and dead bodies are unclean. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, that's why the priest and the Levite cross the road to pass by the half-dead man on the other side. They don't want to become unclean. But of course, in doing this, they defile themselves with a lack of mercy and their failure to show compassion to a person in need. And we could add to sin and to sickness and to death things like fear and loneliness and ungodly divisions and mental brokenness and addictions. These too are the work of the devil. Whatever takes us captive, anything that holds us in bondage, all that would enslave us is the work of unclean spirits. And where do they come from? I want to share with you an insight I received from another pastor recently. He made a comment about C.S. Lewis's last book in the Chronicles of Narnia called The Last Battle. There's a dwarf near the end of that book that makes the comment. He says, "People shouldn't call for demons unless they really mean what they say." Now, this dwarf had just witnessed the arrival of Tash, who is a wicked, vulture-like god, demon of the rival Calarmenes. Now, the people who called for Tash to come, they didn't even believe that he existed, and yet they called him. And so it happened. Call them, and they'll come. Invite them over, and they'll make themselves at home. Open yourselves to them, and they'll be delighted to move in. And the description of this devil Tash is chilling. Roughly the shape of a man, but it had the head of a bird. Some bird of prey with a cruel curved beak. Four arms that were held high above its head, stretching out northward as if it wanted to snatch the whole land in its grip. And its fingers, all 20 of them, were curved like its beak and had long, pointed, bird-like claws instead of nails. It floated on the grass instead of walking, and the grass seemed to wither beneath it. Now, yes, it's a novel, but I think C.S. Lewis has done something wonderful for our imagination, that these evil and unclean and wicked spirits that exist are pictured for us in all their hideousness. When it came to unclean spirits, they played with fire, and they got burned. And that brings to mind a recent event. We would never invoke demons, would we? We would never call down false gods into our midst, would we? What about the opening prayer in Congress on January the 3rd? A supposedly Christian minister ended his prayer with these words, "Give us peace. Peace, even now in this chamber, now and evermore, we ask it in the name of the monotheistic god Brahma." I hesitate to even say the words. A god known by many names and many different faiths. Amen and a woman. He called on a false god. Maybe he didn't believe what he prayed. Maybe he didn't mean it. I don't know. Maybe he was trying to be cute or having fun or just being clever, trying to get attention. But I dare say he got more than that. You know what happened 3 days later. The protest that devolved into a riot that spilled into the Capitol building, and the image that I have burned into my mind is that picture and the video of that shirtless Norse pagan shaman standing in the middle of the Capitol. Both Democrats and Republicans were outraged at that violation of the temple of democracy. Do you hear the religious language? But did they simply get what they prayed for? I don't know. But we ought to be very careful before we start invoking or praying to other gods or to other things, whether we believe in them or not. Unclean spirits are real. And we should not be blind to our country's faithlessness and to the violent degeneracy that we see today. Our nation has worshipped demons for a long time. What else can you call the slaughter of tens of millions of unborn across 50 years? This is no less than the worship of Moloch, the god of the Old Testament, the false god in the Old Testament to which people often sacrificed their children. And we have countless ways of accessing pornography, all sorts of different versions of it, hardly different than the worshipers of Baal and Asherah, that could consort with their gods by visiting the temple prostitutes. And then Mars and Bacchus, the gods of war and of violence and of upheaval, adored by so many people, by the hedonism and the violence of our culture and society, worshipped in our entertainment, encouraged by the rhetoric of politicians and celebrities. Let's not doubt that unclean spirits are present in our world as well. And did you notice what that unclean spirit said in the synagogue in Capernaum? He said, "What have you to do with us?" Now, it says there's only one unclean spirit. Who is the us he's talking about? Is it the whole realm of unclean spirits? Maybe. Is it are there other spirits inhabiting this man like he is? Maybe. Or is that unclean spirit laying claim to everyone in that synagogue? What have you to do, Jesus, with all of us gathered here in this place, claiming them for the power of the devil? And who is Jesus? And where does he come from? You hear what that unclean spirit says. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Oh, the devil knows who he is, and the unclean spirits know who he is. They know that God exists. They know that Jesus is the Son of God, but they do not believe in him as a Savior. They want the exact opposite of what our Lord wants. He is the Holy One, and they are unclean. Our Lord is holy by his conception from the Holy Spirit. The angel Gabriel tells Mary that the one she bears in her womb will be called the Holy One of God. And so he is. He comes with all his holiness into the dark and corrupt and unclean world. And like I said, he attracts all of that evil to himself. Have you come to destroy us? You know, that unclean spirit is not simply talking about Jesus entering the synagogue in Capernaum. He's not saying, have you come into the synagogue to destroy us? He means, have you come, Son of God, Word of the Father in the flesh, from heaven to earth to destroy us? Because that is where our Lord has come from. Not simply from Nazareth, but he has come from the Father. He has come from heaven itself. And he has come to earth to reclaim those who are under the power of the devil, to reclaim those who are subject to the spirits of the devil and of this false age and of the uncleanness around us. And Jesus reveals who he truly is in this encounter. He is more than a man from Nazareth. He is one who teaches with authority, the authority of God himself. He is the cosmic Christ. And when he steps into that synagogue, when he begins teaching, when he rebukes that unclean spirit, he is saying that that is his synagogue and these are his people, and his rule is over all things visible and invisible. And it is not a contest between equals. His power is unmatched. He has come into the world to fight against Satan and to defeat him, and he will set free all the people that Satan claims as his own. And so Jesus rebukes that unclean spirit, and he says to him, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him, came out with a loud cry. Jesus speaks with authority. Jesus casts out the devil. Jesus drives off the unclean spirits. It makes me thankful that he is the one that we invoke as we gather, that he is the one whose name we call upon, that he is the one to whom we pray, and that he has promised where his name is, there he is present in the midst of his people, and that he is more powerful than every unclean spirit that has ever and ever will exist. And what happened in the synagogue of Capernaum on that day is what happens as Jesus comes into our midst today and every time that we gather. You see the starkness of this contest that we are standing in the middle of, and you see so starkly the deliverance of our God. This Jesus, whom you worship, rules over all things, and he is more powerful than the unclean spirits, and his work saves you. Every time there is a baptism, we renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways in the name of Jesus Christ. The unclean spirits are told to get out and go. Every time Jesus is preached, every time his absolution is spoken with the forgiveness of sins, the unclean spirits are told to depart and to leave forever. Every time our Lord comes to us with his own body and blood, he drives out the unclean spirits and their hold on us. How are the unclean made clean? How are the captives set free? By the gracious work of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his bearing the curse of our uncleanness to the cross, that he might rise and bring the blessing of God's holiness to us. This is what he does for us. What has Jesus to do with the unclean spirits? Nothing. Get out of here. But what does he have to do with us? Everything. He took on our flesh and blood. He comes to make us clean with his own holiness, that we might belong to him forever, that we might live under him in holiness and righteousness for all eternity. And what a blessing this worship that we have is. You know, it's been almost a year that we've been living in these COVID times, not worshiping together for a while, and now worshiping together, but in sort of limited or slightly different ways. But how precious it is that we can gather to hear God's word. How precious it is that we can receive that body and blood of Christ. How precious it is that we can remember our baptisms every time those words in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit are spoken. What a gift it is that Christ comes into the midst of his people. What a gift it is that the one who triumphed over the devil and over every unclean spirit comes to us with his own holiness. We live in the midst of a battle. Satan seeks to lay claim to our lives, but for us fights the valiant one, Jesus Christ, and his word sends the unclean spirits fleeing. And Christ, the Lord of the universe, has come today, and he claims you as his own. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.